in the night. Your heart fills with dread, probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed. You'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinister Who? Well, hello and welcome to another edition of Freaky Friday, where we tell your odd but true stories. It is Friday, April 5th, 2024, and I just want to thank everyone from Australia who let us know that there's no lions, tigers, or bears in Australia.
They don't have tigers either?
Nothing. They got, I mean, the bears, they got koalas, which isn't really a bear. It's a whole thing. And so my question is, why did several people who saw a yowie be like, it sounded like a lion? Well, then you should be afraid, because that means there's either a lion or a yowie where it shouldn't be.
I saw the comments about the lions and a bear. Genuinely did not know that lions were not in Australia. I thought they had everything.
That's what I said. I was like, we think that it's such a magical continent. I assume that they're everywhere, that they have anything that you want. It's like a magical place. You just snap, there's a tiger. But it turns out, no, only in zoos. And at one point, I believe I think it was lions escaped from the Sydney Zoo. And it said, zookeeper says run. Great advice. No
notes.
If
the lions escaped, you got some wild lions out there. Somewhere there's a lion roaming around. Obviously enough to where people think they hear it when they're out doing a bush wee, and a roar occurs.
Yeah, that's my bigger concern is if you hear something roar and you're like, it's either a yowie or a lion, it doesn't matter. It's run away, pinch it off, pinch your wee off, and take off.
I guess it's like how we only have koalas and kangaroos in zoos.
Yeah, or like a wildlife, you know, a preserve, a nature. They're not running loose. If you're on a hike,
we don't have lions and tigers running loose around. I mean, that's true. So
yeah,
I guess that's on us thinking
only
that it's
Dallas.
Just this wild country / continent. See, you're both of those things.
They're
so
everything.
You're here to tell me that you don't have lions, but you can somehow both be a country and a continent.
I told him it's a magical place. That's Australia for you, baby. I can't expect it. But I will say, I love just as nice as when I fucked up Canadian money, just as kind of corrections and like, oh, you're so cute. And I'm always like, I'll take that. Please don't be like, you idiot. But like, oh, you wee little American.
You idiot.
Yeah, I like that better. I like just being thought, Americans are thought
wanker?
Of as like the children. Yeah, not a fucking wanker.
What would they call it? I don't think Australians say idiot. I wonder
they
what
did
their
say,
thing is.
Rex Gilroy did say wanker. That's what he called
Dean
Harrison.
Okay, all right. Wanker's
Co.
funny. I like
yeah,
that.
He said, oh, I wish it was open season on those wankers. Please don't declare open season on us or our wankers. Just thank you for the gentle correction. And we hear you and we appreciate you.
I do. And I now I'm going to have to look up what is the most dangerous animal that roams free in Australia. I'm assuming it's the salties.
Yeah,
but
up there. And
who knows
the
now?
Snakes. There's the big snakes and spiders. Those are the worst ones. But those koalas will give
salties,
you chlamydia.
Snakes, and spiders. Oh my. Yeah, koalas will give you chlamydia. And I think they're also closer to a sloth than a bear. Or maybe
yeah,
a sloth
really
a
bear.
Is a bear somehow.
I think bear is another one where they're like, it's a bear. And they're like, it's not a bear.
There's
but
also a sloth bear, which is an actual bear. But it's hairy. It's very cute.
And there's a kangaroo lion, which is not really a lion. I just saw this. Someone was like,
does it look like a kangaroo?
A extinct kangaroo-like lion discovered in Australia. So fossilized of a dog-sized 19-million-year-old marsupial revealed new insight into the family tree of these ancient creatures. So say what you will, mate, but you used to have lions, but the kangas fucked them out of existence.
Well, and if they can fuck the lions out of existence, I think they can fuck the yowies out of existence, too. So we solved it. Thank you.
Done and done. Well, close the book on that one. Thank you, yowie.
Well, now that we figured that out, we have some stories to get to today.
So many. Thank you, everyone who sent these in.
Yes. Well, I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
And let's get freaky. This first one is from Kristen, and it is called, Who is Uncle Scott? When I was in my early 20s, I had a good friend who would travel often with her husband for work. Most of the time, they would bring their two young children with them. But every time they went to California for the week, their kids would have to stay home. I would often watch their kids for the week while they were gone in California, and after we had known each other for quite a while, I finally asked why this was the one trip that their children never came with them on. I was told that the kids didn't get to come with them because they were going to visit a friend of theirs, and where he was staying, the kids weren't allowed in. I didn't really dig too much into it because it didn't seem like something they really wanted to talk about. After the third or fourth time that I had watched their two young boys for the week, I decided that I would ask some more questions. I began with asking who it was that they were going to visit. I was met with a very cautious tone, and I really didn't think that they were going to give me any more information. After a few minutes, they decided that they would share the whole story. Several years ago, they used to live in California and told me that a good friend of theirs had been wrongfully accused and put into prison. A lot of his friends didn't speak with him anymore, and they wanted to make sure that he knew he still had people on his side. They would try and get out to California every 4 or 5 months to visit. They would go every day to visit throughout the week, bringing pictures drawn by their boys for Uncle Scott. When I asked what their friend was in prison for, they hesitated before telling me that he had been wrongfully convicted of killing his wife and his unborn son. Several times a year, they would head out to California to visit Scott Peterson. The craziest thing to me was that several years later, when I came out as a lesbian, those friends never talked to me again, and their boys weren't allowed to see me anymore because, quote, I was living a life of sin. But lo and behold, they still write letters to Uncle Scott every month. Don't worry, this didn't wreck my self-confidence. I very firmly believe in myself and my life choices, but this will always be a crazy brush that I had with true crime. Thank you for listening. Keep it creepy. Kristen.
Oh, fuck these people. Dude. I'm sorry, but the fact that you're like, we don't know, by the way, wrongfully convicted, he says.
Yeah,
he
says. Wrongfully convicted has not been proved, or he wouldn't. I mean, I'm not to say that a lot of people in prison aren't wrongfully convicted and are still there. Is he one of them? The jury said no, but
yeah.
Some of the societal jury is still out on that one. But to go every few months, that's a big undertaking. That's a big commitment. And I mean, shows that they obviously were pretty close with these people.
Had to have been, yeah.
And if that's, if you believe that, that's one thing.
Yeah.
But fuck these people for yes. you coming out as a lesbian and yes. then all of a sudden they get on their moral high ground.
Yes.
Nah.
Absolutely. Nope. Yeah.
Nope.
You're the one that's in there palling around with Scott Peterson.
Getting your little boys to draw pictures for him that he's probably hanging on the wall of his cell. You know what little boy can't draw him a picture? The one Lacey was carrying when he murdered her.
Yeah.
Yeah, I said it. He murdered her.
You said what you said. That's, I mean, it wasn't until we covered it briefly on True Crime Headlines that so many of our listeners were like, actually, there was this evidence, because I didn't really know much about the case, just that the Los Angeles, not the National Innocence Project, the Los Angeles one was sort of looking into it. But other people said, that's actually already really been looked into. We don't know why they're taking the case. But that's what I don't get, is that that's where you draw the line.
Yeah. That's your line in the sand.
What? Are you kidding me right now? You can be a bleeding heart and want to love everyone and love your neighbor regardless of what they've been accused of or convicted of. I firmly believe that people that have been convicted of crimes deserve rehabilitation. They deserve love. They deserve respect and dignity and a second chance. And that's how we're going to reform them. But real fucking cognitive dissonance to be like, oh, that, what a sinner. The woman who took care of our children
right?
when we were going off on our fucking prison escapades. Nah, fuck you guys and fuck Uncle Scott.
One of them can watch your kids because they haven't been convicted of a crime. The other one you can't take your kids to see because he's in a maximum security prison for murder.
Go on. Nah, I don't fuck with people like that. You dodged a bullet. Kristen, glad you don't fuck with them anymore.
Yeah, fuck those guys and fuck Scott Peterson. I said it and I don't think that's a hot take.
No, I don't think it's like controversial. No, I don't think it's controversial, but yeah, nah, nah. Mm-mm. When Nancy now, Grace is like, nah.
I remember watching all of that unfold when it happened and thinking, oh, there's no way this guy didn't do it. And I have not seen, I believe it's Max that has documentary that's come out in the past few years. And a lot of people were like, it proves his innocence. I think with a lot of those documentaries, if you look into who made this, then that answers a lot of your questions. And if the family of him is throwing a lot of money behind it, then it's probably going to be a bit biased. So I did not watch that because things with kids upset me, as we know. Yeah. However, I might have to go and watch that one just because I want to know what they're saying. But I don't think it's going to change my opinion that I do think he did it. Afterward, you can't be fleeing to Mexico with your hair dyed bleach blonde and a sack of money and disguises in the back seat when you get pulled over and then profess your innocence.
He was going on vacation, Christy. That's how I packed for Mexico.
I go on vacation with fake mustaches and sunglasses. All disguises. And, I mean, granted, I do get my hair colored before I go on vacation, but that's something that I just always do. It's not as like a new look.
Yeah, no, you're not like, do it jet black, cut it off into a bob. And it's like, well, we're not going to recognize you. No, I've not watched that, but you're right. I think, like I said, Nancy McKinney's always like, consider the source. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure his family was heavily involved. But it's fascinating to watch those, just understanding. It's like being in a jury. You're listening to the defense closing argument, the prosecution's closing argument. You get to weigh the balance. You don't necessarily have to believe it just because it's in a documentary. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I might take a watch of that.
Well, thank you so much, Kristen, for sending that in. And your friends suck. Ex-friends.
Sinisterhood will be right back. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You ever just feel drained?
Oh, the time. I said, oh, the time, because that's how little my brain is functioning. I was going to say, oh, yeah, and then all the time, and it came out, oh, the time.
Oh, the time. My problem is I packed my schedule. We came out of the pandemic when I was doing nothing, and then I was like, I want to do all the things again. Mm. And if I don't say yes to everything, I'll be a constant disappointment. And that has not turned out well, and I needed help with that, it turns out.
It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially when it comes to social gatherings and picking up after the winter. Everybody was kind of hibernating, and now the weather's getting nice, so everybody's going out. But sometimes you're like, I just don't really want to go, but that FOMO kicks in. But you're like, but I know deep down I don't want to go.
What is the right amount of socializing? What is it for you? How do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you just need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. This is something I worked on with my therapist, who was walking me through of like, no, you don't, just because it's these things that I had like built up in my, like, I have to do this. And like working with feeling obligated versus taking care of yourself and knowing when rest is being productive versus feeling obligated that I need to be at my desk and things like that. So it's just things that I didn't know I needed to talk about until I finally talked to my BetterHelp therapist.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try.
BetterHelp is convenient, flexible, affordable, and entirely online. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/sinister today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/sinister. This next one is from Sandy Staffaker, and it is called Bloody Relations or Modernesque Greek Tragedy. Content warning, this story involves attempted murder and mentions of suicide. Hello, my amazingly awesome friends. I love you ladies and the community you have cultivated. I, like many, found you via Em and Christine from And That's Why We Drink, and I couldn't thank them enough. Your combined senses of humor and how you handle the stories are always so thoughtful and empathetic. This is why I feel safe sharing this with you and the rest of our creepy little cult. Let me take y'all back to the spring of 1996. The Chicago Bulls won another championship. Chokers and overalls were the fashion rage. Spice Girls were rocking the girl power. And a little film called Twister was blowing them away in the theaters. Yeah, I went there. My 27-year-old Keister was working as the boys' department manager at our local Kohl's department store. I checked, and there are locations in Texas. I am shocked. I thought it was only an upper Midwest thing. But hey, grab your Kohl's cash while you can. I digress. I was headed to our stockroom when I happened upon a relatively nice-looking, read, friendly, not hot, male and female couple. The male saw my name tag and asked, "Hey, are you related to the Staffacres from Darlington?" Our names tag had our full names on them because funsies. I said, "Yes." And then he introduced himself as Jack Staffacre and his wife, Donna. And apparently he was my second or third cousin. I hadn't been to a family reunion since I was 12 and couldn't remember ever meeting this guy. I told him who my dad was. He knew him. And then we chatted about mutual relations I could barely remember. I had to cut the chat short before I would get in trouble. Overall, it was a pleasant interaction, as we Staffacres tend to be pleasant, if not chatty. It's the Swiss in us. When I got home, I called my parents to tell them who I met. They still live in our small hometown, so it was hot gossip from the big city. Dad remembered Jack and his family, how nice he was, and then there were more relations talk. But all I heard was Charlie Brown's teacher. We finished the call, and I didn't think about it again. Flash forward to September 2007, and I get a call from Mom saying, "Guess what just happened to your cousin Jack?" Mom was never a fan of Dad's side of the family, as many of them held her responsible for Dad divorcing his first wife. Long story. Mom proceeded to tell me that Jack had been arrested and then released on bail on the 15th of September for the attempted murder of his wife, Donna. Apparently, Donna had gone into the hospital for a scheduled, fairly routine surgery and then developed a severe, inexplicable infection overnight. The doctors thought it strange and started investigating. Supposedly, the night nurse saw Jack come into Donna's room with a duffel bag that allegedly had syringes in it that he allegedly used to inject pond water into Donna's IV. The injection had enough bacteria to cause the infection and almost kill her. This was a tremendous shock to the locals, as Darlington is a small farming community. Everyone knows everyone and their personal business. Then, on the 17th, Jack apparently parked the family van in the garage and completed suicide by carbon monoxide poisoning. The news about the arrest and suicide became huge. Having the last name Staffacre became a bit of an albatross. The tragedy continued, as 4 months later, the first weekend of January 1998, Donna completed suicide, using the same family van in the same garage. This was such a complete waste of human life and sent waves of grief throughout the community again. Our Staffacre roots trace back to 1247 AD in Switzerland. Oh, and we have a family crest, and we have a huge family tree. The original three brothers who migrated and started farms in what became New Glarus and Darlington, Wisconsin. I can only assume that part of the reason that both Jack and Donna made their ultimate choices was due to the weight of community judgment. They were, quote, church-going pillars of the community. Donna was a school teacher, and with Jack's attempted murder, it made everyone look at their neighbors and selves a little closer. I have never been ashamed of my last name. I know the actions of one person do not define their relations. However, if I was living in that small town during this time period, I know that I would have had difficulty dealing with the whispers and looks. Thank you for reading this if you do, and I've added the links to a couple of articles for your reference. Thank you again, gals, and remember, no matter who you are related to, you are your own person and you should always keep it creepy. Love ya, Sandy Staffacre. That is heartbreaking to think of how that ended for both of them. Didn't mention if they had children. Family van made me think maybe that they do. So that adds a whole other layer. But man, going in the hospital and then finding out your husband tried to kill you and then he kills himself, that is a hard one to get past.
Yeah, they did have kids and grandkids because they were in the Jack was in his early 50s and Donna was in her late 40s. And The LA Times article was just very heartbreaking because it said that sort of in those months that she seemed to others like she was, you know, dealing with what had happened and was kind of wanting to come back to work and wanting to start to go to events and things like that. But it's just everybody quoted is just completely shook, heartbroken, shattered at what happened. And it's just that's you wonder kind of what would make you inject pond water into your wife, you know, of being married that long. And he, a quote he had said to, I think, one of their children, I would never do anything to hurt mom because if I would have gotten caught, I could never face the community. I just never. And so it's like you're almost like saying the truth when you're lying, you know, he's still kind of saying that same thing. But I thought it was an interesting quote. If I did, I could never face the community. It's a small community. Everyone would know I'm a pillar of the community. And so that, I think that kind of tells you why he made his choice. But it's so heartbreaking anytime, you know, you see, like she said, a loss of two lives for no
reason.
In
the same way, in the same place, too, is really hard to stomach. Yeah, the articles didn't give a motive. And he obviously wasn't around to give one either. But that is a very sinister way to try and kill somebody that you love. Pond water, and also like a way that it's just something everyone has access to. And then when you think of that, you're like, golly, I mean, where there's a will, often there's a way. And luckily a nurse saw what had happened and could point some fingers.
Right. That is an eagle eye night nurse to notice that, to notice like that's a weird duffel bag and what's all that in there, because that could have easily been just like a mystery infection that would have taken like a ton of tests to figure out what happened. But like Sandy said, you are not defined necessarily by your last name. And I'm sorry that in that small community that kind of had the, that's a good way to put it, became kind of an albatross, but that you're not defined by the actions of your relatives. We all get to be our own person.
Well, this next one's from Emily, and it is called, Did I Get Punch Talked? Hey, Freaky Friday friends. My name is Emily, and I was listening to the true crime headlines on March 30th of 2024 and was horrified to hear that punch talk is becoming a trend, in New York City at least. It brought me back to a time when I was assaulted by a random man on the street years ago in Long Beach, California, before TikTok. So, to set the scene, I had worked a double shift that day, and I was leaving work around 1:30 a.m. to walk less than a block to where I was parked. I'm not a hypervigilant person, or at least I wasn't then, but I did notice a man leaning up against a car as I made my way down the street. I glanced behind me as I crossed the road and saw him still leaning on the car. I got to my motorcycle, put the key in the ignition, and began gearing up. Zipped up my jacket, put on my gloves, adjusted my backpack, and threw my leg over the seat. Almost as soon as I had kicked the kickstand back from its lowered position, I heard a scuffle and turned my head to the left. All I saw was a fist. Bam! I was stunned. Whoa! What the fuck? I shrieked as the man threw another punch in my direction. I punched back this time. He mumbled something and fell toward me, trying to hit me again, and then on top of me, tumping me and my motorcycle over. I heard and felt something in my ankle pop. The man got up and started running down the street. I shimmied my trapped leg out from under my motorcycle and ran as fast as I could after him, screaming at the top of my lungs, "Stop! Stop, you motherfucker! Help!" Not a soul around. I lobbed my helmet at him as I got closer, but it was no use. Lost him down an alley in the neighborhood. I limped back to my motorcycle, pushed it back up, and assessed the damage. I wasn't going to be able to ride it home, injured or not. I called the cops. I called my roommate to use her AAA tow service. Unfortunately, and unsurprisingly, the cops weren't much help. The one writing my report actually laughed when I described the damage to my bike as being fucked. He wrote fucked on the report and showed it to me. I cried. They couldn't be bothered to wait with me until my roommate arrived. As I sat alone on the curb next to my bike, I felt especially vulnerable. So I walked back toward the restaurant I worked at to see if I could maybe wait inside. I came across an electrical maintenance worker in the alley directly behind the place. I walked past him at first, and then I thought again. Hey man, did you see a guy hanging out around here? And I described him. The worker said, oh yeah, you should go don't. The worker said, oh yeah, you should go talk to that guy over there, he said, and pointed to a man sitting on a stool at the back door of a bar across the road. He continued, he threw him out a while ago, and he's been chilling over here. So I go talk to the bouncer, explain the situation, and his face falls. He said, I am so sorry. We had to throw him out because he punched three other women in front of the bar and inside. I went inside to talk to the manager, who actually gave me security camera stills of the guy's face. I was in my bounty hunter era. I was going to find this guy. Who could just run around punching random people and not be arrested, or at least taken off site in a police car? I was on the phone the next day with police. They told me I'd have to wait for a detective to be assigned to my case. I told them about the information I'd gathered the night before and the names of the witnesses and their contact info. I felt pretty brushed off, but I tried again the next day. And the next. I had a black eye for a week and a half. My ankle hasn't felt quite right since. And my motorcycle repairs were costly. My insurance didn't see this as an accident or vandalism, even though I'd not done anything wrong. The police didn't see this as much of anything, even though I'd clearly been hit in the face and all. Overall, this is a small drop in a bucket of weird and terrifying encounters I've had, but I don't think any of those became a TikTok challenge. That's my story, and I don't know how to end it, so live fast, eat ass, baby, and don't punch people. Love y'all.
That's a great way to end. It's the perfect way to end it.
I'm going to change our signature line in Gmail to that.
Yeah, that's cool. Yes. And don't punch people. Just get advice for everyone. That's going to be the way to reduce it. Well, if y'all don't know, if you haven't been following TikTok or haven't been following the news or just been random guys, two, three, four different suspects just walking up and just socking women in the face, the back of the head, the forehead, knocking them down, not robbing them, just hitting them for no reason and running off. So this sounds like it fit the bill if he just punched women randomly in a bar.
Yeah, the ones that are currently happening are in New York City. Like Emily said, this was in Long Beach, but that just shows you that stuff like this goes on both coasts.
Both coasts and yeah, all time. Because when I first told Paris, he was like, that's that what you said, that's that yeah, knockout game from like 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. So it's just something people do.
Yeah, well, it's got to stop. And what's wild to me is three women had been punched and they were like, we're just going to kick you out. Call the cops. That's assault three different times. Yes. Have him arrested because you didn't. And now he went and assaulted a fourth woman. Mm-hmm. And then the cops, I can't believe they would allow her to stay there by herself, waiting for someone to come pick her up, knowing that this man is still out there.
That he just merely ran away. It's not like she's like, well, he got into a car and drove off. Even then, he could just have gone around the corner. Right? It's like he's only within foot distance. And also, you could go look, couldn't you? And shout out to Emily for surviving a bike falling on you. Mine tumped on me two different times. One time was like kind of an accident where I broke my ribs and my wrist. But another, I was just like at a stop sign. And it was I like hesitated when I turned. And my bike weighed like 745 pounds. Ooh. And on me, and it was late at night, and I was like, well, I'm going to have to lift this up because there's nobody around to, like, lift my bike. But to have it, like, completely incapacitated, that's so scary because you don't want to leave it because it's very easily stolen, but also, like, you can't get away and your arm hurts. It's just, I'm sad and that you have to ankle, be a sleuth. Yes, and your ankle's
jacked. You feel your ankle pop, and then you got to run on it to chase this guy.
And you have a black eye, and you chuck your helmet. Helmets are expensive. But to have, like, the cops be like, she said it was fucked. It's like, it's obviously and probably not totaled, but at least, like I said, it's incapacitated. It can't go. And please stop laughing when a person wails on another person, particularly a strange man wailing on an innocent woman who just got off a fucking shift. Like, I can't believe that. Have some empathy, man. But
good for the bar for giving you the security footage. But next time, just call the cops. Yeah. If somebody is punching women left and right in your establishment, they go to jail. That's the rules.
Let's err on the side of just call it in, because that person mm-hmm. doesn't need to be. It's part of the sign off. Live fast, eat ass, baby, and don't punch people. It's yeah. in the sign off.
It's in the sign off. You got to follow the sign off rules.
Oh, that's well. Thank you for sharing that with us, Emily. And may we all live in a world where men don't just come up and punch us in the face for no reason.
Yes, and also you're a badass bitch mm-hmm. chasing after this guy.
Hell yeah,
locking your helmet down and not letting the police just like brush you off, mm-hmm. like calling over and over again. Yeah. I'm going to assume nothing came of it because no. you didn't mention that, which is usually, unfortunately, the outcome in most of these. But people like you that are hypervigilant and stay on the case, that's what we need more of.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm proud of all the women that are able to, through being punched on TikTok, the ones that had the wherewithal to like grab their phone or even afterwards, like record themselves that instant present sense impression memory of like, this just happened. This is everything I remember at how he looks. And it's so terrible that we all have to live in a heightened state of, mm-hmm. well, if I can't prevent the crime, at least I'll gather the evidence. So maybe I'll see justice, and like having to be the one person like doing that on your own. But you're a badass for doing it, Emily. Mm-hmm. So thank you for writing us in. Sinisterhood, we'll be right back. Well, this next one is from Jay, and the subject line is Forestry Intern Brushed with True Crime. Hi, ladies. First off, I want to start with the obligatory, you guys are the best. I listen to you all the time while I work, and it makes my day go by so much faster. Thank you both for being so kind and conscious to victims of your stories and their families. I was listening to Freaky Friday, episode 104, and knew I had to send in my work-related brushes with true crime. Now, one of the stories is not super true crime, but I thought my life was ending, so I thought it may be fun to include it. During the summer of 2021, I was working as a forestry intern in Northern California. When I say Northern California, I mean the real Northern California, where the people and mountain lions roam free. My story begins on a Monday. As a forestry intern, I was responsible for the very mundane task of tracking and marking burn piles from previous harvests. Since the property spans throughout Northern California, I made a plan the day before to mark the burn piles on a piece of property I had not visited before on my own. As I was looking at a map of the property, it did not appear to connect to a main county road. So I identified another road to access the property from. As I turned onto this road, I started driving past a very run-down home with a black tarp covering a chain-linked fence. The fence ran along the entirety of the property. If you've never been in the middle of nowhere, California, this is a surefire way to tell where there is an illegal pot grow. I was getting nervous at this point, but knew that once I was past the access gate and on the property, I would be presumably safer. When I finally pulled up to the gate, I realized the gate was not ours, nor was it one that I recognized. We normally have very large steel gates with one or two locks on it for us to use for access. However, this gate was just about the width of my truck and looked like a military gate with a lot of locks, none of which I identified to be ours. What the fuck? I rolled down the window of my pickup truck to get a better look at the locks on the gate, when I heard a weird metallic banging sound coming from my left. I looked over to see what the sound was coming from when I saw a man at the top of the driveway connected to the pot grower's property. He had not been there as I drove up to the gate initially. As I focused my mind on what made that noise, I saw said man holding a rifle in his hand and watched him repeatedly bang the rifle against his truck while he stared at me. Recognizing this as a warning sign and knowing that I did not want to be shot, I quickly rolled my window up and turned around to drive away from his property, shaking. I looked in my rearview mirror to look at the gate one last time when I saw the man again. He was closely following me in his truck with his rifle in his hand next to him. I clutched the steering wheel for dear life and continued driving away from the property. Once I got past his property and turned onto another road, he stopped following me. Being the work-till-you-drop intern that I wanted to be, I continued on with my day. It was only about 8 a.m. at this point. On Tuesday, I started my day early, going back to the property I had tried to reach the day before. Turns out the map was incorrect, and the property did connect to a county road. As I was driving, the dirt road I was on turned very rocky. I looked to my left where I saw that I was driving along a very steep, very sharp cliff. Well, not exactly a cliff, but enough of a steep terrain that cable logging was used for the harvest. Did you ever watch Axemen? As I was driving along the road, trying to carefully avoid the large rocks, I heard a huge thud and preceding crashing sounds. Since I was in the process of driving down a hill, I couldn't stop until I reached the bottom. Once I reached the bottom, I ran out of the truck to inspect what had caused all of the noise. Thinking I had run over one of the large rocks I was trying to avoid, I looked under the truck to discover a cable logging wire was wrapped around the rear axle, fraying itself in the process. I quickly grabbed my phone to call someone from work and realized I didn't have any signal. Not only did I have a broken vehicle, I also had no way of contacting anyone to ask for help, and I was in the middle of bear and mountain lion country. My only option was to start walking until I got reception. Mind you, that as I was walking to find cell phone reception, my only defense was a can of wasp spray that I repeatedly hit on the large rocks I was so careful to avoid. I wanted to make as much noise as possible. Was I actually in danger of dying from a bear and/or mountain lion attack? Probably not. But my 22-year-old brain was already in survival mode. I'm only 5'4". I'm prey out in the woods. Thankfully, it wasn't too far until I got one measly bar. I frantically called everyone I worked with, only to find out that the closest person to me was 2 hours away. I told him that I would check in every 30 minutes until he arrived. So, for the next 2 hours, I hunkered down under the truck, attempting to manually remove the logging cable wire from the axle, which I did after an hour and a half. At that point, my coworker was close by with a tow truck on the ready, but the truck was seemingly fine. Even the brake line was just bent, not even broken. Again, like the day before, I kept my head down and kept on working. I was a broke college kid. On Wednesday, I was driving back to the same property as the 2 days before. Think it's cursed. As I was driving to the gate, I passed a small, white Ford Ranger parked off the road. I slowed down to observe my surroundings, to make sure nothing seemed off, and to try to spot the driver of the truck, to no avail. Again, I knew once I was past the gate, I would be presumably safer, so I continued on towards the gate. However, I saw another truck. This time, a small red Chevy. I didn't know who either of the trucks belonged to. Just as I was checking my phone to call someone from work, a small white truck pulled up beside me. They rolled their window down, and much to my relief, I saw a woman driving it. Sorry, men, you're scary in the woods. Once I had my window down all the way, the woman driving the truck began to hurl questions at me about who I was, who I worked for, and if I knew about the streams. Turns out there was a small creek on our property that ran downhill to a ranch. Once she believed me that I was just an intern for the forestry company, she told me that illegal pot growers were stealing water from the creek and that she owned the ranch downhill, which relied on that water. She then asked me if I knew who drove the red truck, to which I answered, "No, do you?" She said she did. She told me this man was well known in the area. He was an ex-convict who enjoyed illegally trespassing on property. He was notorious for apparently waking up with a mountain lion sleeping on top of him. He also traveled armed and with a dog. Again, with the guns. What the fuck? This poor woman was very worried about me and my safety, knowing I needed to be on the property to finish my job. So she decided to sleuth around his truck to see if he was just sleeping in it. Guess what? He was not. She looked at me and said, "He's not in his truck. He's on your property." She also decided that it was the right moment to inform me that he was a known arsonist who liked to cook food and keep his fires unattended. Did I mention Northern California in 2021 was in the middle of a very severe drought with raging wildfires all around? Again, what the fuck? What was I to do? I needed to complete the job and I needed to earn my keep. So I let someone in our company know that this known arsonist was on our property and continued on with my day, hoping I wouldn't come face to face with him. Thanks for reading. Even if it doesn't make it on the podcast, I can't wait to see you guys on the tour.
I
want to say, Jay, that we're right now going to create an award for the most dedicated intern that's ever existed.
It's for and Jay, folks.
Present it to you because I would have been out the
day
second
one.
Somebody was banging a rifle against a truck. I'm right. out. I'm done. I'm that's
right.
It for me.
When we watch that Murder Mountain, those people don't fucking care.
Oh,
they'll
no,
just
no,
wave
no.
their gun at you.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. The whole time I was reading this, I was thinking about Murder Mountain, which is a docuseries on Netflix. And you are not wrong, Jay, when you say if you've never been to real Northern California, the people and the mountain lions roam free. And it is the wild, wild west in those certain parts where there are mm-hmm. a ton of illegal pot grows. And a lot of people that just want to escape from kind of the societal norms and go off the grid. And so they go up there and it's very sad because so many young people that they talk about in the docuseries go up there because you can make a lot of money
mm-hmm,
working at one of these pot farms for a few months. But even though we all think, oh, it's just weed, when you've got a $100,000, $1 million farm that's producing that much money, it's not just weed. There are lots of guns. There are lots mm-hmm. of unsavory people working there.
And, just running around on four-wheelers with a shotgun out and bandanas on their face.
It's nothing to be taken lightly. And to be having to drive around there as a young, tiny girl, that is next level.
Like you said, the most dedicated intern award goes yes. to Jay. Because I probably would have taken the day. Like the first one of like, yeah. I just got chased by a rifle. But that I'm not cut out to be a forestry professional. I always thought if the shit hit the fan and I couldn't practice law anymore and something happened to the podcast, maybe I'd go be a park ranger somewhere. But I don't know if I can hack it, man. I don't know if I can make it.
Damn. By 8 a.m., you're like, most
so
people
early.
Aren't even up by now. And you've already
on
had
the
to
night ranger.
Not get killed.
Yeah, exactly.
It's wild. Yeah,
that's so early to be banging your rifle on the hood of your truck.
Yeah. Well,
it's never too early.
Yeah, it's no rest for the wicked out there.
Good
up in
Lord.
The mountains there. And people, very scary. Mountain lions and bears, also very scary.
Truly.
So I don't want to get trapped where I might have to encounter one of those things.
Just
you know where
you
don't encounter those?
Australia.
Yeah, so,
Australia.
That's
might.
Where you have to go be a park ranger is Australia.
Done and done. I would absolutely
man.
Love that. But yeah, you take a can of wasp spray with you and you can take on the world. Well, thank you for sharing that with us. And yeah, if you have any other wild forestry stories, we're all ears because especially that part of California, that has a reputation for mm-hmm. a reason. Beautiful place, but.
Oh, gorgeous. Yes.
No one would have known now. I'd be trepidatious traveling
it's
through
remote.
There alone.
It mm-hmm. is, it's remote and it is, like they say in that docuseries, which I highly recommend mm-hmm. if you haven't seen it, but even the law enforcement out there, which is few and far between, mm-hmm. which they talk about, it's like everybody out here, they make their own rules and we mm-hmm. all just kind of live by it. It's just the law of the land. And when you go out there and choose that life, that's kind of what you know you're getting yourself into.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those sheriff's deputies are like, we're literally just outnumbered.
Yeah.
I did feel bad. I ran into a lady in Marfa and I go, oh, where are you from originally? And she was like, Humboldt County. And I was like, Murder Mountain. And she was like, yeah, Murder Mountain. And I was like, I'm so
I'm
sorry.
I'm sure she loves when serious. She tells people. And the first thing they say is, oh, Murder Mountain. Yeah.
I know that place from the TV show. Well, it's my home. So that's rude. But
gorgeous,
no, anyway, well, thank you. Yes.
Can be dangerous.
Yeah, they're just like me. Well, thank you very much. This next one is from Y, and the subject line is my brush with remote viewing, aka the time I stole my twin sister's memory. Sinisterhood will be right back. Well, hello, Christy and Heather. First things first, I've loved your podcast ever since I discovered you by accident way back when you covered the Free Britney movement. The episode randomly came up for me on Spotify. And I thought, yeah, I am interested in hearing about that. And I've been hooked ever since. I recommend you to everyone, and you are my go-to comfort podcast, along with And That's Why We Drink, obviously. But when I really just need some girl time, it's Sinisterhood all the way. When I heard you mention remote viewing during an episode the other day, I knew it was my time to freaking shine and decided to write in. For a bit of background before I get into the meat of the story, I have an identical twin sister, who I'll call A for the sake of the story. We are very close, and she is my best friend. It is hard to describe the bond between twins unless you have one yourself. The way I describe it, it's like having a copy of myself who just understands me and always has my back. She gets me on a level that is unlikely to be replicated by anyone I'll ever meet. We just understand how the other one's brain works. I guess when you start off as just one egg in the womb that splits into two, the consequences are inevitable. And I believe that because of our strong bond, I have this story for you today. I think this happened when my sister and I would have been about 20 years old, so about 8 years ago. This would have been just before gas prices absolutely skyrocketed, and going on drives for fun was still a thing. The remote viewing incidents I experienced seemed to occur in certain dreams. I remember that there were a couple of key, strong visuals from the dream, and always at the beginning. These were things I had never seen, but always felt familiar in the dream. When I woke up, I remember wondering what these places were. I only recognized them when I was in the dream. I'm on a road. I must just have come off of some highway because there's an overpass to my right, a sign directly in front of me telling which town is in which direction and how far they are in miles. There's a shopping center straight ahead of me. I can see it, but it's probably a quarter of a mile from the intersection I'm in. Sitting in the middle of three lanes on the road, I go left. I mosey along for a bit before ending up walking on a rickety old bridge, the wood darkened by age and moisture. Cars cannot pass here, and it's inaccessible from the main road. And even though I'm always on foot in this dream, I shouldn't be walking on it. The bridge is old and falling apart. I have this dream several times over the course of about 6 months, truly not thinking much of it at all. I didn't tell anyone about it because why would I? It didn't mean anything to me, at least not at the time. One day, my sister and I both had the day off together. Obviously, we're getting together and hanging out, duh. It's the morning, we have the whole day ahead of us. A proposes that we take one of her favorite drives down the scenic coastal route of Highway 1. I'll add here that yes, we are California kids, and yes, we live in one of Christy's favorite places, amongst the redwoods in Northern California. Side note, I actually used to live somewhere that shared a property line with Bohemian Grove, which y'all have covered in the past. That's a story for another day. Anyway, I, of course, agree to go on this drive. It's A's favorite drive, and I haven't done it yet. She wants to share something with me that is special to her, and I am one down-ass bitch, so hell yes, let's go. The plan is her usual route. Drive up the 101 for a while, take an exit, and drive back home down the beautiful coastline. Sounds like a plan. So we're on the 101 for a bit, chatting about our lives and shooting the shit as one does with their bestie. But I've been on this stretch of freeway in particular many times, so I'm also looking down at my phone occasionally as A is driving. I'm looking down at my phone as we take an exit off the freeway. I'm staring at the screen as I feel the car veer off the freeway, circling around into an intersection. I look up, not expecting anything at all, and holy fucking shit, my view on the world was changed forever. It was the intersection from my dreams. The overpass to my right, the sign in front of me, the shopping center behind it, and the three lanes on the road. Blinker on to take a left. The next few minutes are a bit of a blur, but I just instantly start muttering, "Hey, I've been here. I've been here." I start crying, for whatever reason. I'm a crybaby at heart. And my sister is trying to ask me questions. I'm trying to explain my dreams, the intersection, the sign, the shopping center, the overpass. I've been here, even though I've never been here. As my sister is asking questions, and never once denying my truth or telling me I'm wrong or mistaken, she continues to drive. I'm crying and trying to explain, and I look over, and what do you know? It's that old, rickety, worn bridge, set back from the road and inaccessible to cars. That was the moment I knew for sure that I had somehow hijacked my sister's memory. A had seen that intersection many times. That intersection would have been the beginning of her favorite adventure. The image of it burned into her mind. She knew that bridge. She knew it was worn and darkened by age. She'd seen and known and loved these things that I had never seen or even heard of. We talked about the experience the entire way back home, both of us absolutely gobsmacked. That was a major moment in my life. I could not explain it. I don't tell many people because I'm afraid they'll think I'm making it up or exaggerating. But A believes me because she was there and is also, in case you haven't gathered, a down-ass bitch herself. And my sister believing me is really all I care about as far as any of that goes. The story came up one day with a neighbor, and she told me there was a name for it, remote viewing. And suddenly, I knew I wasn't crazy. And after hearing you two talk about remote viewing in last week's episode, I was hoping you might believe me too and enjoy hearing about my story. It feels wrong even calling it my story when obviously this was an experience shared with my sister. Shout out to my awesome, incredible, creative, loving, and irreplaceable other half for never denying this experience. Even if it doesn't make it on the show, I know A believes me, and that's all I could have asked for. Again, thank you so much, Christy and Heather, for reading my story. Hopefully, it encourages other listeners to share their experiences with remote viewing. I am dying to hear them. You can count on A and I being at the live show the next time you're in the San Francisco Bay Area. Much, much love, your sisters in creepiness, Y and A.
I think twins are fascinating, especially identical twins, because like you said, Y, an egg that splits in the womb and
you're made of the same stuff. Like, yeah, you just are.
Yeah. I mean, you just are.
It's incredible.
I had a good friend whose mom was an identical twin, and she would tell us things, and I witnessed it too, that like her and her sister wouldn't have talked. And then like they would just show up somewhere, like meet each other for lunch, and they would be wearing like the literal same exact outfit. And they hadn't talked about it. And they were like, oh yeah, it happens all the time. And just stuff like that. And they would know like when each other was feeling something, or you get a feeling like, I think something's going on. I need to call them. And you call,
she's really
like,
sad right
going
now.
On. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, then you call just them and they're like, I was sobbing. And you're like, yeah. Really? Or like Emily talking about the motorcycle hit her in the ankle. Like if you're a twin, your twin's at home and like, my ankle hurts all of a sudden. And like, how do you explain that? Explain that. Science.
They probably sound can, like a, but I don't have science. But that's so wild. And to think that you just are like, what are these dreams? And then that would have fucked me up. But kudos to your sister. And first of all, I love how much it comes across that you clearly love your sister to death, your twin and her besties. So if that's all that matters to you, that she cares, then you've got it. But I believe you too. So now you got at least three people that believe you.
No, I 100% believe you. My theory on it is that you did not steal her memories. My theory is that she was possibly on these drives, not telling you. Like, you didn't know she was out on a drive. She was out on the drive thinking, man, I really wish Y was with me. God, I wish Y was with me right now. I'd do anything to man, Y would be right here in this seat looking at that. We'd probably, and like, I wonder if there's some sort of, y'all have Taylor Swift, an invisible string. There's like some sort of, you know, but seriously, like having that sort of conscious connection of like, if she was really singularly focused on her sister while she was driving, going, man, I wish she was here. I wish she was here. Maybe somehow she drug you from your bed. You were just kind of floating astrally out there and was like, whoop, you love your sister. You want to go hang out with her? So I don't know.
Wild.
If y'all have any twin stories, anybody, if Y and A, if y'all have any more twin stories, or if anybody has a story of like, I knew my twin was like in an accident and I drove out there or whatever, please send them in. I find those so fascinating. I love them.
Yeah, twins or any kind of multiples.
Yeah.
I've known triplets too. I don't think I've known anything more than a triplet.
I'm friends with Octomom, so I'll get her to. Just kidding.
Well, we need the kids to write in. It is fascinating. And I went to school with lots of multiples, and they all had crazy stories like this, where like you get each other in a way that like Y said, just other people cannot possibly get you, and it's because you are literally made from the same thing as we all are. But you are like really, really, really made from the same,
like
thing.
Like the super same thing.
Yeah,
I love that. I just you're right though. Their love comes through, and I just makes me it makes my heart warm. Well, thank you very much, Y. Sinisterhood will be right back. This last one is from Quill, and the subject line is, two times I called out of work. Hello, Sinisterhood. Of course, let me please start by saying how awesome your podcast is. I've listened to all your episodes and got hooked from the episode you did with 30 Morbid Minutes, and I hope y'all do another one with them sometime in the future. Anyway, I was reminded of these events while listening to episode 283 about the Gateway Experience, specifically about the part where Bob Monroe was able to project himself into another living being. A few years after I had moved out of my parents' house, I started researching scientific meditation after discovering the collective unconscious and theories about a holographic universe. I learned that through scientific meditation, I could astral project my consciousness and provoke an OBE, out-of-body experience. I believe I successfully did this a few times, with one experience flying my spirit over the forests of the Pacific Northwest. I learned that I could even change the basic psychology of my brain through these practices. It was truly an enlightening era of my life. During that time, I worked humbly in food service and retail, and this is where the weird part happens. One day, I got ready for work as usual, but when I got in, my manager looked at me unexpectedly. "Why are you here?" she asked. I replied, "I'm scheduled to work today, right?" She said, "But you called out, and we already have someone here to cover your shift." My mind was perplexed. How could I have called out without remembering doing so? I checked my phone's call log, and there was no record of calling my work that morning or the previous night. It was unexplainable, but shrugged it off as a weird event and went back home to enjoy my day off. Fast forward 4 years. I'm working at the same company, but at a different location with a different manager. Again, I get ready for my scheduled shift, but when I arrive, I'm met with confusion. My manager again informs me that she got my shift covered because I had called out that morning. This was just as strange as the first time this happened because, again, there was no call log in my phone to show evidence that I had actually contacted my work, and I have no recollection of doing so. I walked back home feeling so very confused and mildly concerned. Was there someone out there pranking me and calling into my work on my behalf? Was it me in an alternate universe trying to call out and my phone just happened to get twisted up in time and space? Or perhaps an intruder like Bob Monroe entering my body and acting without my permission and then deleting all the evidence of it afterwards? It's still a mystery to me, and I hope you find some mystery in it as well. Thank you for listening, Quill.
Well, I certainly do find some mystery in it and don't have an explanation. But if this is the prank where somebody gets you a day off work, that's a great prank.
When I had to call out, I would always get so, if it was a true thing, I would feel nervous that they would think I was lying. And if I was lying, I was nervous that I would think they would know I was lying. So I just hated to ever call out. I also felt like I was disappointing them. This is all stuff I've subsequently worked on in therapy. But back in my 20s, I would just be like sweating like, oh my God, I can't ask for a day off. So if somebody wanted to come in my body and be like, I got this, and confidently be like, I won't be coming in today. I'm not feeling well. I'll see you next Thursday. Fuck yes. Thank you. Please take over. Please enter me.
It's so wild, though, because what gets me is the not having any record of it on the phone. Damn. Because, like, how would you have called and twice with the same company? Could it be that the person that showed up for the shift called on Quill's behalf because they wanted hours or something, like, and pretended to be Quill?
Just do a fake voice. Hello, this is Quill. I'm calling off. Maybe you should ask Margaret to cover their shift.
Right?
And then suddenly Margaret's working there and Quill's like, wait a minute, that wasn't me. I don't know. It could be. Two different locations, two different managers, 4 years apart. Same company, but if it was the same person covering, then I think you have a conspiracy for sure. But
yeah.
Otherwise, it's either
you. Or they told somebody, Margaret told second person, hey, you know what you should do? Call out, but pretend you're Quill. I don't know. That's wild. I don't like the fact that things are going on that involve me and I don't know how it happened or have any recollection of it. That would be unsettling at best.
I'm like, I don't want my subconscious gaslighting me. You called off work. No, I didn't. Yes, we did. No, you – wait, what? Yeah.
Or what if you had gone to work that day and something tragic had happened and so, like, something
– Protected you.
You weren't supposed to be there that day.
It could have been. The problem is when you're in this situation, it's so awkward. You can't be like to the manager, what exactly did I say? That right? was me that called in? Well, what time did I call? I need more evidence, because they'd be like, I don't think you should work here anymore. You need like a sabbatical, because you seem like you can't remember what happened earlier.
You're like, well, I'm not going to call in for that, but someone else probably will on my behalf. I would want receipts, so I'd be like, I need to hear exactly what I said.
Prove then you're to me.
Is that words that I would say? Is that how I would have asked for a day off?
Prove to me that I called off. Oh, mm-hmm. Well, that's why I don't want to astral project, only because if I'm out and about, I don't want someone to slip in and go in there and get with my husband in my body.
Or you astral project yourself in somebody else's body and you call out and then they don't know what's going on. Or
chaos.
To go back to Y's story, maybe you were thinking so much about your sister that you kind of astral projected. Because like we said, one of the things mm-hmm. is like if you think about the place that you want to be or the person that you're wanting to visit,
dude.
Like Bob did. Maybe you visited your sister and she was out having a joyride and you just kind of saw what she was doing a couple
That's
times.
That's true. You were thinking about her. That's a good point. Or maybe Quill was in bed thinking, God, I don't want to go to work. I would just pick my phone up and just be like, hey, Debbie, listen, I got to be off today. And Debbie would be like, that sounds good. And for some reason, you made contact with Debbie, the manager, who's like, what? Yeah, I got your call. And it's like, on the phone? I think it was on the phone. It was like, nah, baby, I was inside.
telepathically.
Yeah. Telepathically call off of work. Damn, you accidentally call off all the time. She's like, I don't want to fucking be here.
And then you get fired for calling out of work. You're like, I've never called out of work once. You can check my phone. Never once have I.
They're like, we heard you. We heard it up here.
That's a hard argument to win. Yeah. If you find yourself in that situation.
It's a dangerous game for sure. Yeah, I don't want to. It's like we were talking about conjuring things or wishing to be at places. If you just were like accidentally like, mm-hmm. oh my gosh. Yeah. The other day we were joking about, I was talking on the phone to Victoria and I was talking about different ways we've been dumped. And I was like, describing one of the locations and I was like, God, I don't want to accidentally get astral projected back there. I gotta stop thinking about talking about this place. I don't want to get sucked back.
I don't think you're gonna accidentally astral project yourself anywhere, if that's any solace to you.
Thank you.
Because it seems you've been bringing it up a lot lately. Like it's a legitimate fear.
I've been worried. I don't want to get sucked out of my body. I think I have to go willingly. So
yeah, I don't think you're just gonna do it. And I think if you do, it'll be like some place that you want to go, not hopefully. Like a dumpster.
That's where I got dumped. Ago. Behind the dumpster.
Or a trolley.
We were talking about the trolley at the time, yeah, for sure. Well, Quill, let us know if your subconscious has been causing any other shenanigans
right?
in your life.
Yeah, that's incredible. And I'm also here for any and all other astral projection stories or
100%.
Twin mind stories, all that stuff. Send them in to sinisterhood.com/Freaky Friday. And thank you so much for all of you for sending in your Freaky Friday stories today. Again, if you have an odd but true story, maybe you've encountered Bigfoot, you've seen a UFO, you had a brush with true crime, or you felt the presence of an otherworldly being, send them in at sinisterhood.com/Freaky Friday. If you like our free episodes, you'll love our Patreon bonus content. You can join for free to see what we're up to next or dive into over 800 hours of bonus content.
And if you're curious about Patreon, not sure if you want to join yet, if you join for free, you get a throwback content of bonus content each month from one of our weekly audio bonuses. It could be true crime headlines, Am I the Asshole, Relationship Advice, Judge Christie. And we also have free trials, which are different than join for free. Join for free, just stay on it forever. A free trial is 1 week. You get all access to anything on our Patreon. Check it out, see if you like it, and you can cancel before the week is over, before getting charged. Or if you want to stick around, be sure to check out the annual subscription, because you get one free month when you sign up for a year. And that free month, you're going to get all kinds of stuff. Ad-free episodes, our monthly live stream, weekly bonus content, merch discounts, and so much more.
Communities of the best listeners on the whole internet. Everybody is so active on Patreon in the chats and on our exclusive Patreon Facebook page. It's just the best. Everybody is the best. Y'all are the best.
Y'all are the best. I saw there's a Google Form sign up for some chat crew buttons and identifications for the live show.
They're so cute, too.
I can't wait.
They've got the cryptid that you pick on it, and then it says chat crew.
It's perfect.
They're purple. I can't.
It's the most perfect. You can also, if you want something to pin that pin to, head over to sinisterhood.com and click shop on the top banner to check out our merch, like t-shirts, mugs, totes, stickers, and even clothes for your kiddos. For the kiddos, there's nothing cuter than the Believe and Be Kind Flatwoods Monster shirt designed by our junior researcher, sweet Ella. It says Believe and Be Kind on it and comes in kids, toddlers, baby sizes, and grown-up sizes, so you can match your little one too. Don't forget to shop our merch clearance sale. Act fast. We're almost out. There's a handful of each of these left. We have our Texas theater shows with our skeleton cowboy ghost. And we also have some of our cover logo t-shirts, as well as just a few of the Full Moon Energy shirts that say 2023. So get yours now. They're deeply discounted, and you can use your Patreon merch discount as well.
They're deeply discounted because we're about to go back on tour and have our 2024 Full Moon Energy Tour shirts.
Heck yes.
The Full Moon Energy Tour, where you'll hear all about the darker side of the moon, what it does to us, what lurks up there, and what people think really happened during the Apollo missions. From legend and lore to the mysterious and macabre, the Full Moon Energy Tour brings together everything you love most about our podcast. And we're kicking it off in just a month, starting in St. Louis. Then we'll be hitting up Chicago, Milwaukee, Charlotte, Raleigh, Cincinnati, Cleveland, Toronto, Kansas City, Oklahoma City, San Diego, Phoenix, Las Vegas, and rounding it out in our home city of Dallas. So check out sinisterhood.com/live shows for information on all the venues, times, dates, and tickets.
And don't forget to meet us and get screwy in St. Louis. That's what I wanted to say.
Is that a saying they have?
I'm saying it now. You tell okay. me, St. Louis, are we getting screwy in St. Louis? Let's do it.
Well, now we got to come up with a slogan for every city, so we'll work on that.
Deal. When we get to your city, we will have a new city slogan for you, so prepare yourself.
Yeah, prepare yourself. Bring the mayor, because you'll probably want to change it on site.
And they'll want to give us a key to the city, so make sure they have that ready.
Or a screw. You can give us a screwdriver. So stupid. Oh, I'm just going on this list thinking, okay, I know Chicago is the windy city. So no, not, there's not probably anymore, something baby. There.
Something Let's there get shot between those with. Thighs. CHI. Shot between those thighs. They're sexual because screwy in St. Louis. I can't help it. St. Louis started
this. Oh, now they're all going to be sexual.
St. Louis started it. I can't help it. I can't stop them. That arch. You know what I mean?
Wow. Oklahoma City is going to be fun when we get to that one.
We'll get him. We'll get you. Okey? We got you.
Pokey and the Okey?
Hell yeah. See? It just writes itself. It's it simple. Does.
Dow ass.
That was me.
We'll have
twerking.
To come up with a really good one for our city.
We'll come up with it.
We will. Well, while you're on our website, you can also review the show. We make it super simple to give us reviews. We love 5-star ones if you're willing to do that. Follow us on socials and check out the episode description. And you'll also find fun things like topic-based playlists and, again, links to live show tickets.
You can follow us over on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod. Like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. Check out full video episodes on YouTube. They drop early and ad-free on Patreon and then are released on YouTube a few days later. We also have clips of one of our Freaky Friday stories per week up there with some visuals as well. Those are on TikTok too. We have some clips on TikTok. And don't forget to follow us on TikTok because at the end of the month, we're going to be going live when we're touring the Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum. So Sinisterhood Podcast on TikTok. Make sure you're following us, and we'll post some videos leading up to it, just kind of telling you how we're getting ready and stuff like that about the ghost hunt, and then letting you know when we'll go live.
Mm-hmm.
So excited. It's huge.
It's going to be a good one. I'm very excited about it. Yes.
I cannot wait. And if you want a custom video shout out for yourself, go to cameo.com and let us know what you want us to deliver for you in the message. We could say happy birthday, happy anniversary. I love you. You got this. Go get them, tiger. Whatever you want us to say and however you want us to say it, let us know. We're happy to do it. And we're happy to bring any number of the Sinisterhood crew I'm gesturing around myself to the whimsy that I sit in like a like Big, like the character for Big, child's toys everywhere. But head to cameo.com and we would love to share those with you guys. Where can the wonderful people find you on the internet?
I am on Instagram and Threads at Christy M. Wallace and TikTok at Christy or GTFO. Heather?
I'm on the internet at Heather versus the World.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy.